Welcome to Right Royal Roundup with Carolyn Cash. The show that keeps you updated with what's happening in the world of royalty, from the British royal family through to the aristocracy, and current events from around the royal world.
Hello, and welcome to Right Royal Roundup. I'm Carolyn Cash, and coming up later on today's show, King Charles and Queen Camilla's state visit to France, will Japan eventually have an Empress Regnant in the future, and invitations for Prince Christian's 18th birthday celebrations have been mailed out with some RSVPs already. William the Conqueror arrives in Pevensey on the 28th of September 1066 as he prepares to take on King Harold II at the Battle of Hastings, so stay tuned.
Welcome to Right Royal Roundup with Carolyn Cash. Now crossing live to the throne.
King Charles and Queen Camilla made their first state visit to France from the 20th to the 22nd of September. Originally, the state visit was supposed to take place back in March, but it was postponed due to violent protests over President Emmanuel Macron's proposed changes to age pensions in France. King Charles and Queen Camilla visited France to celebrate the two nations' bilateral ties and relationship with shared histories, cultures, and values. President Macron welcomed his royal guests in spectacular style with a ceremony at the Arc de Triomphe, which included a flypast with the Red Arrows and their French Air Force counterparts. King Charles and President Macron then laid a wreath at the Eternal Flame to mark the many sacrifices made by French and British troops during World Wars I and II. At the Elysee Palace, King Charles and President Macron had a bilateral meeting followed by a brief walkabout, meeting the crowds with many calling out, "Vive le roi! Vive le roi!" which translates as, "Long live the King." Later that evening, King Charles and Queen Camilla were guests of honour at a state banquet in the Hall of Mirrors at the Palace of Versailles to mark the state visit. King Charles, who spoke mostly in French during his speech, looked back on the long history and enduring alliance between the two nations. Then King Charles made history by becoming the first member of the British royal family to address the French parliamentarians in the Senate chamber, highlighting the friendship between the UK and France. Queen Camilla and Madame Macron launched a new UK-France Literary Prize at a reception at the Bibliothèque Nationale de France, or the BNF, the Entente Literary Prize, with notable literary figures from both countries present. The Entente Literary Prize will recognise young adult fiction for both French and British citizens to share joint literary experiences, reinforcing cultural ties while celebrating the joys of reading books. Then King Charles and Queen Camilla visited a central Paris flower market named after Queen Elizabeth II following her visit in 2014 and met local florists. The royal couple visited Notre Dame Cathedral with President and Madame Macron, which is being currently restored since the devastating fire in April 2019. They met firefighters who fought to put out the fire and craftspeople currently working on the restoration. On the third day, King Charles and Queen Camilla travelled to Bordeaux to learn more about the historic ties and twinning with the city of Bristol in the UK. Then King Charles and Queen Camilla went aboard the HMS Iron Duke to attend a reception to highlight defence ties between the two nations. Their Majesties travelled on an electric tram to attend a festival focusing on the best of British, French and Bordelais businesses, including hospitality, technology and innovation, and sports. The visit to Bordeaux included a tour of Chateau Smithout Lafitte and some wine tasting.
Visit Right Royal Roundup on Facebook or follow us on Twitter at Right Royal Roundup. Or you can check out our website, rightroyalroundup.com.au.
Over in Japan, Nippon.com has reported that 8 out of 10 Japanese are in favour of a woman sitting on the chrysanthemum throne someday, according to opinion polls. Princess Eiko, the only daughter of Emperor Naruhito and Empress Masako, cannot inherit the throne because the 1947 imperial household law dictates that no woman can become a monarch. So Prince Fumihito, Emperor Naruhito's younger brother, became the crown prince upon his accession on the 1st of May 2019, following the abdication of their father, Emperor Akihito, on the 30th of April. However, there has been a precedent in Japanese history, as there have been 8 empresses regnant, but their heirs, with one exception, were selected from the males of the paternal imperial bloodline. Cartoonist and author Kobayashi Yoshinori organised a 4-hour public discussion held in Tokyo on the 23rd of July, originally expecting a crowd of about 500, but nearly 1,000 turned up from all over the country. Kobayashi Yoshinori, who wrote the manga Eiko Tenno Ron, which translates as Princess Eiko as Emperor, has been rather outspoken about imperial household issues. The panel included former National Diet members, journalists and academic researchers, including Takamori Akinori, who is an expert on the imperial royal family and Shinto religious issues. There has been a push for a female emperor for some time, as well as a couple of proposals. The first was that the female members of the imperial family retain their status after marriage. Currently, female members lose their status following marriages and become ordinary citizens, like Princess Meiko, who married lawyer Kei Kimuro in 2021. The other proposal was for former members of the imperial family, who lost their noble status after World War II, to regain their titles. Princess Eiko can only marry a man from a noble family, but according to reports, there are none left in Japan. Supporters of a female emperor have proposed a legal amendment that would change the imperial house law, which limits their succession to the male lineage, to absolute primogeniture, and make Princess Eiko the heir to the throne.
For any royal information heard on today's show, check us out at rightroyalroundup.com.au.
The Royal Court of Denmark announced on Thursday, the 28th of September, via its official Instagram account, that several hundred invitations were mailed out to guests attending a gala dinner. The invitations were printed and sorted in the Court Martial Secretariat's office before they were stamped in the Royal Palace's own post office in the Yellow Palace. Already, Crown Prince Haakon and Princess Ingrid Alexandra of Norway and Crown Princess Victoria and Prince Daniel of Sweden have sent their RSVPs and will be attending the gala dinner. Unfortunately, Crown Princess Mette Marit is still on sick leave. Crown Prince Haakon, Crown Princess Mette Marit and Crown Princess Victoria are also Prince Christian's godparents. Prince Christian was a page boy at Crown Princess Victoria and Prince Daniel's wedding in 2010. Details for official celebrations were released on Tuesday, the 8th of August, and can be found on our website at rightroyalroundup.com.au. The changing of the guard will take place at 11:50 a.m. on Sunday, the 15th of October, with the Royal Lifeguards wearing red gala uniforms in front of Christian VII's palace at Amalienborg. Then Prince Christian will appear on the balcony of Frederick VIII's palace with his parents, his younger siblings and his grandmother, Queen Margrethe. Queen Margrethe will host the gala dinner in Prince Christian's honour at Christianborg Palace later that evening, with 200 guests, including many representatives from various youth organisations in Denmark, Greenland and the Faroe Islands. Earlier this year, Prince Christian obtained his driver's licence and has delayed payment of his annuity whilst he finishes high school. Next month, on Tuesday the 14th of November, Prince Christian will attend a Council of State at 9:30 a.m. Prince Christian will make a solemn declaration to abide by the Constitution, but he will not have a seat on the Council of State until there is a change in the succession, which we hope won't happen for many years to come.
On Right Royal Roundup, we now go back in time for some Right Royal regal history.
On the 28th of September 1066, William the Conqueror and his army landed in Pevensey, After arriving in a fleet of over 700 Viking-style longships with over 7,000 men and about 2,000 horses, King Edward the Confessor died childless on the 5th of January and supposedly named the powerful English Earl Harold Godwin as his successor, an event that set off a chain of events that would change English history forever. Duke William of Normandy was a cousin to King Edward the Confessor, who allegedly nominated him as heir to the English throne. William also claimed Harold had sworn to support his claim. Edward the Confessor was buried in Westminster Abbey on the 6th of January and Harold was crowned later that day. When William heard, he was no doubt absolutely furious, so he built a huge fleet and recruited soldiers from Normandy, Brittany and other parts of France to invade England with servants, armour, barrels of wine and food supplies for the journey. William assembled his fleet on about the 12th of August off the River Dives, northwest of Caen. But things didn't exactly go to plan whilst waiting for the right wind, one from the south, to blow. So he was stuck there for about a month until a storm blew the fleet east to St. Valery. Then William and his Normans were forced to wait another 2 weeks, anxiously waiting for the right wind, which finally blew on the 27th of September. So the fleet loaded up with all those soldiers, horses, servants and supplies. So can you imagine the fun and games of getting all those horses on board all those ships? I've seen people having trouble getting a couple of horses into a horse float, so it must have been a mammoth job, especially as horses don't like water. William's wife, Matilda of Flanders, provided his flagship, the Mora, which led the Norman fleet when it departed Normandy. The Norman fleet left later that evening on the high tide for a journey that would take about 12 hours and travelled through the nights. Panic ensued aboard the Mora when it arrived, but there was no sign of the other ships on the horizon. William remained quite calm and sat down to a hearty breakfast, according to historian Mark Morris in his book The Norman Conquest, and washed it all down with spiced wine. Meanwhile, the other ships had caught up, and the Normans landed around 9 a.m. on the beach at Pevensey. They used the old Roman fort for shelter, whilst Norman soldiers hurried to Hastings to commandeer an ancient fortification to rebuild one to suit the Normans' requirements. Normans went foraging for livestock for fresh meat to feed their army, with the first casualty being a cow, which has been immortalised in the Bayeux Tapestry, according to Andrew Bridgeford in his book 1066, The Hidden History of the Bayeux Tapestry. They began raiding, pillaging and burning the surrounding countryside as part of William's scorched earth policy whilst waiting for King Harold to arrive. King Harold, fresh after his victory against his younger brother Tostig, King Harald Hardrada and his Norwegian force at the Battle of Stamford Bridge on the 25th of September, quickly headed south to take on the Normans at the Battle of Hastings on the 14th of October 1066. That's all we have for this week. Thanks for joining us and we look forward to your company again next week.
You've been listening to Right Royal Roundup with Carolyn Cash. Tune in next week for more of the latest royal news from around the world. And don't forget to like us on Facebook or follow us on Twitter at Right Royal Roundup or visit our website, rightroyalroundup.com.au.